Oh God, I can hear the screaming children.
Oh no,
that's this so is gonna bad. Be interesting.
Okay, we're gonna find another room.
Oh God,
I'm so sorry.
Darsh will just be on the roof recording.
Okay, yep, the screaming children, not helping. Hi everyone, you're about to listen to our first episode. But before you do, we wanted to take a minute to thank all of our listeners who have been beyond supportive of the show by sharing it with their friends and even on social media, in addition to sending us stories that we can share with everyone in our later episodes.
In particular, we'd like to give a shout out to my friend Erin. Despite the fact that her and I talk so infrequently that my number wasn't even in her contacts, she wasted no time doing everything she could to support the show, sending us stories and questions and telling all of her friends to subscribe. Thanks, Erin.
Remember, even if you don't have a story related to our current topic, you can still ask us questions about how we deal with social life, academics, and the teenage experience in general.
Now that we've started releasing episodes, we're going to try to respond to those questions when we can. We'd also love to hear ideas, suggestions, feedback, and advice.
And now, here's the show.
Hi. And welcome to the Human Equation Podcast, a show about being a teenager in the 21st century. I'm Benjamin.
And I'm Darshini, and this is our first real episode.
Yay!
Today, we'll be listening to a story sent in by one of our friends, and someone who has been extremely supportive of the show.
She'll be sharing her story about the evolution of friendships over time.
Michaela, take it away.
Alright, so I've definitely seen how my friendships have developed and changed over time as I've grown. Not only have my friendships impacted me, as in like they've changed how I think or who I am, or if they've helped build my own person, but just seeing how I've grown has impacted, you know, what kind of friends I'd like to seek, what I want to have in a friend, you know, what type of friendships I want, who people I can trust are. And I think all of that kind of builds as you're going through the stages of school. So when you're about from the moment you're born to about when you're 5 or 6, your first friends are obviously going to be your immediate family, whether it's your mom, your dad, grandparents, siblings, whoever you see first is who you're going to be friends with. But then, once you reach elementary school, you're completely devoured in this whole new world, in this whole different society that is different than your own home. And as an ignorant, innocent child, you don't really know what to expect. You're ignorant to skin color and religion and all of these different things. And I think that's the beauty of elementary school friendships, is that you don't really know the societal impacts of other people. So of course you're gonna walk into your first class in kindergarten super shy, not knowing what to do. First kid you see, you walk up to them, hey, do you like toys? And next thing you know, they're like, oh my god, I like toys too. And then you guys are friends just because you have that one immediate connection. And I will say that as far as friendships go in kindergarten and elementary school in general, your friends with people you have classes with. I've also noticed that in elementary school, a lot of boys will be friends with boys and a lot of girls will be friends with girls. And although this is true for some people, I was actually more friends with boys just solely because I have 3 brothers and I was just used to hanging around with boys. And I guess it was easier for me to connect with them. Having said that, I also had a big problem with social anxiety. So I wasn't even able to get friends until maybe a few months into the year. And that was really rough for me. In elementary school too, not only are you friends with your peers and people you have class with, but you're also friends with that one teacher that you have that class with. And, you know, there are some kids who are able to just click with their teachers. There are some teachers' pets, which are kind of annoying, but I guess that's their personality. And with me having social anxiety, I could not connect with my teachers. There was one teacher that I did connect with in second grade. She was very sweet and very nice. And for a little bit, I was able to get out of my shell. But for the most part, being friends with adults in elementary school is definitely not a big thing. But yeah, once I transitioned into middle school, I think I've definitely seen a big leap from 5th grade to 6th grade. Middle school is definitely a time where you start feeling hormonal imbalances and, you know, stupid puberty stuff. And you're like, God, Mom, it's not a phase, this is who I really am. And you're like, trying to figure out who you are. When I was in 6th grade, the summer before 6th grade, I moved from a very urban city with a lot of people to a rural town where there was about only 100 kids per grade. And for me, that was such a big change because I wasn't used to that. The only thing that I think that didn't change was that both schools were very whitewashed and I was the only person of color in my classrooms. But that's a different discussion for later. So once I reached 6th grade, I could tell that there was definitely a big change in how people acted. In 5th grade, you know, you're ready to get out and see 6th grade, and you're still that innocent little kid. But once you reach 6th grade, you're kind of like, yeah, screw this, I'm a rebel, I'm a teenager, blah blah blah, you don't understand who I am. And it's just, I think middle school is definitely a time where you're just confused about everything. And even though I didn't go to the same middle school as my friends in elementary school, I could definitely see that other people who were friends in elementary school were not friends with people that they were in middle school. And another thing about friendships in middle school, you can definitely see like this really weird vibe between other people. Middle school definitely reminded me of, like, those weird, like, those high school movies where there's, like, different cliques. Like, for example, in Mean Girls, when Janice shows Katie around, she's like, oh yeah, those are the chic Asians, and those are the football kids, and those are the popular kids, and it's like, that's literally middle school. You have the popular kids, you have the nerds, you have those weird kids that no one wants to talk to, and it's just this weird cliquey place. And I've always hated that about middle school. I remember not liking that about middle school because when I was in elementary school, I was just friends with everybody. It didn't matter who they were, what they looked like. So in middle school, I tried being friends with everybody. I tried joining groups and just moving around various places. And regardless of what I did, I was still stuck in my own friend group, which wasn't bad. I'm pretty sure other people had a label for my friend group, but to me, that didn't seem to matter. And maybe we don't realize it, but there is that cliquey feeling of high school in middle school. And middle school is definitely more dramatic, and, you know, it's not something that we're inherently used to. Considering the fact that you move from one class and one teacher in elementary school to seven classes and seven teachers that you have to deal with, that's such a big impact, and I think that definitely also impacts your friends. Because it's like, not only are you friends with people from one class, you're also friends with people from another class, and maybe you have classes with friends, or maybe you have classes that you don't have anyone with, and that in itself was just terrible for me, especially since I moved and I didn't know who anyone was. As far as friendships with adults go, I was still that socially anxious kid. And I think middle school years are definitely the meanest times of your life. It's definitely, because everyone's going through like the same hormonal imbalances, but they're going through it differently. So they're reacting to it differently. So it's more drama, more work. Friendships are just complicated and hard. And everyone can agree that middle school years are the years you don't want to think about in regards to just friendships. In 9th grade specifically, you're asked these questions about your future and what you want to do and what you want for the rest of your life. And we're only 14 and we don't know. And some people just do know. You know, there are some people who want to do this for their life. And I was one of those kids that just did not know. And I still don't know. And once you're in 9th grade, your priorities change. I think a lot of people focus either more on sports or in school, But depending on what you want, your friends change. And when I was starting high school, I had no set friend group. Even though I went to the same middle school as everyone else, I had no set friend group. I remember the first week of lunch, I didn't eat with anyone. The second week, I eat with one group. Third week, I eat with a different group. There were some days where I just keep changing friend groups, and it got so exhausting after a long period of time. But I think the beauty of high school, too, is that you don't have to be friends with people you have classes with. One of my best friends is someone who I don't have any classes with. And it's the best thing. And he is the best thing to ever happen to me. I am so close with him. He's a great guy. Also, things definitely changed as far as my relationship with teachers. I was still very socially anxious in ninth grade, but my ninth grade math teacher, he was very sweet to me, and not only did he help me in math, but he helped me just try to find friends. And I think in ninth grade, he was my first friend. And I think that's also really cool that in high school, although you do have to talk to your teachers more about grades and college recs and, you know, more educational stuff, you also have the option to just talk to them more about, you know, social life. I am friends with a lot of teachers that I don't even have classes with simply because I see them in the hallway or, you know, I've talked to them briefly and I just make conversation. And I think high school is definitely that time where you're able to just open up more and experience and see what you want. I think as far as high school goes, it's definitely quite a journey.
The Human Equation will be right back.
Hi guys, Darshini here. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. Before we move on to the general discussion segment, I wanted to ask you for a quick favor. Our goal with this podcast is to share useful ideas and advice that makes life a little easier for our listeners. But we can't do that if nobody's listening. Word of mouth is the best way for us to grow our audience, which is why we're asking you to support the show by sharing it with your friends and maybe even posting a link to it on social media. You can also leave us a review if your podcast player supports that, or send us feedback using the contact information in the show notes to help us make the podcast more appealing to potential listeners. And now, back to the show.
Any comments you want to start off with, Ben?
So, obviously I want to go back to kind of the beginning of what you said, but I just wanted to touch on what you said near the end about how some people seem like they know what they're doing when it comes to colleges and then careers, and other people just don't. Some people know what they want to do. They don't necessarily know, like, what they're going to want to do in 5 or 10 years, and they definitely don't know how they're going to get there.
Exactly. The point of high school is we're all just trying to figure out what we're interested in and what we want to do. And even if people do know what they want to do, there are so many different ways to get there. And by the time you set yourself on that path, you don't know if that's where you're going to end up going anyway.
And a ton of colleges have options for changing your major, taking dual majors.
Going back to what she said in the very beginning about how easy friendships are when you're younger, they definitely are. I remember myself like coming home after maybe like the first week of school, and my parents would be like, who's your friends in class? And I'd be like, oh, everyone. Because that's honestly what I thought. Like, I would think, you know, I get along well enough with everyone, so I guess they're all my friends. But truth be told, as an elementary schooler, I was very shy, very quiet, and I definitely did not have any friends, despite what I told my parents. I had one best friend, but that was it. And by the time I got to middle school, I went to a separate program. So I had gone to a school that I wouldn't have. It wasn't my home school. And there, it was like a community of people who were interested in the same things that I were. So I suppose in that way, I gained a couple of friends. But even then, I sat alone during lunch. I would have a book in my hand and I'd be reading that every single day all throughout the years. And I'm fortunate enough to say that a couple of my friends from middle school I'm still very, very, very close with now. I only really became good friends with them by like eighth grade. So until then, I was your school loner.
And I mean, some kids like to maybe have time to themselves. They like to think. They don't really like all of the complexity and confusion that comes with interactions, because people can be mean, people can pretend to be your friend and then not be behind your back. So I think that it's normal for some kids to want to avoid that and to maybe not feel comfortable getting involved in that early on, especially.
Yeah, and speaking of being mean, I think that's also something that really comes into play as to how we choose our friends. Like, kids will say whatever comes to mind, right?
I can verify. I volunteered at preschool over the summer. They definitely do.
So kids will say whatever comes to mind. And when they say something mean, that's like them not knowing any better. Like, they're just stating their opinion. But the thing is, by the time you get older, when someone says something mean, you realize that they mean it. Like, by the time you're older, you know exactly what you're saying and you know how to be mean. So I guess that's a change too in your friendships. If you have someone who you've known for a while and suddenly they start being mean, that's them now.
You know, another thing that I thought was interesting that she noted was the friendships that she has with her teachers. And in high school, that's important. Like, if you are going to strictly think of it as, oh, like, I need good college recs and you become friends with your teachers, I mean, I guess that's one reason why it's important. But if we're going to continue talking about the whole perspective thing that I'm, I guess, really obsessed with, it's just interesting to hear about stories that they have to share about when they were in high school. Like, I think that's just funny hearing those kind of stories occasionally.
And I have definitely heard from some of our classmates that when they have a relationship with the teacher, just if they go to talk to the teacher at lunch and maybe they just talk about their personal life or bring up something non-academic, then they tend to have a better experience in that teacher's class. I'm not saying there's necessarily bias involved, but I do think that kind of gives you a better subconscious idea of kind of what that teacher wants and who that teacher is as a person, and therefore what they're looking for in your work.
Right. And it's just going to make a teacher appreciate you more too. Like, that way they know that you're paying attention in their class and you are genuinely interested in the subject that they are teaching. And also, I mean, considering the fact that they have to be surrounded by children all the time, maybe it's kind of nice for them to have us talk to them in a way that's not related to school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're as human as we are, and they don't like thinking about academics all the time.
All the time. Yeah, but or I think that's really cool and really special, the fact that she can say that she considers some of her teachers as friends. I can't say that. Like, I can't say that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. Here's just a question to you, Ben. Are you still close with the people that you knew in middle school?
So I was bad at interactions with humans in middle school and elementary school. So I didn't really have that many friendships, not real friendships. I definitely had fake friendships and I didn't recognize it at the time, but those were a thing. But the few friends that I did have, I'm still very close with.
That's good. Yeah, I do think while all of us might not be friends with all the people we were friends with in middle school, the people who we still are friends with, like, that friendship is probably very, very tight.
Yeah.
I can say that for sure. Are those people that you carried over from middle school and are still very close with, would you consider them to be your best friends?
I think I'm very close with them and it's a very strong relationship. I'm not necessarily best friends with them, especially because people's interests change over time, so maybe the things that we initially bonded over aren't still there. But just as human beings who have connected, that connection still exists, and just because of time, it's stronger. And so I'm still very close with those people, even if we don't maybe have the same links as we did. So I wouldn't say they're my best friends, but I'd say they're very close friends.
See, for me, I have a couple of like really close friends, but I personally kind of have a funny definition for a best friend, besides the typical, oh, someone who's funny, someone who cares about you, someone who's there when you need them. For me, close friends meaning that I've been really good friends with them for a long time. But best friend to me is someone who is a close friend or who was a close friend, and I've had an argument of some sort with them, like one where I've been really, really mad in the past, and we are still friends. Does that make sense? Does that timeline make any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So someone who was my close friend, we had some kind of argument, and we are still good friends. That's who I consider a best friend to me, because it means even though like I've made a mistake, or we had some kind of disagreement and we didn't see eye to eye for a while, it still lasted past that. And to me, that means, okay, this person is one of my best friends.
I think that's a very good indicator. I would also say that a best friend, or maybe even a close friend, has to be someone that you know you can rely on.
Mm-hmm.
Just if you need... if really someone who's there for you, regardless of what you need, they're just going to help you through it. And even if they don't necessarily agree with you or think that you're in the right, they still understand that you as a person need their support. That doesn't mean always admitting, like always saying that you're right, even when you're not, but it does mean supporting you as a person.
When it comes to friendships, I think it's also important to remember that people do change. And I know when we say, oh, people change, we're usually referring to it as a bad change, but people also change for the better. So someone who you might not have liked earlier, keep in mind that they might have changed and you might become really good friends with them later. I have a friend from middle school. She's still one of my best friends now. And back in sixth grade, I thought she was the weirdest person I'd ever come across. And to be fair, I did not have many friends at the time, so I don't know what I was thinking. Judging people, don't judge people. I don't know what I was thinking then, but I just did not bother to get to know her. And then later in eighth grade, she actually came up to me and she was like, do you want to work with me on this project? And when she told me about it, like her thought process and picking me for it later, she was like, oh, like I didn't know who to work with. And I was like, hey, she doesn't seem too strange or mean. Let's work with her. And that's how that happened. But anyway, I'm glad that I put aside what I had thought of her earlier in deciding to work with her on that project, because that project definitely brought us together. And I'm so grateful to have her as one of my best friends now. So you never know what might happen. Keep an open mind.
Going back on what you said about judging people, uh-huh. I think it is important to keep an open mind and just understand that we are all human. The only difference between people is the experiences they've had in life. And even though the result of that may not make you want to be friends with that person, I think it's important to remember that they're still a person and you still have to respect them. And you still, honestly, I think we should all just be there for each other, regardless of whether we are friends with people or not. On the other hand, when you're choosing your friends, I mean, relationships, we're social creatures. Humans are social creatures. So relationships are some of the most important things in terms of the way we view the world. We just tend to place a very high value on relationships. And we do judge each other, both consciously and subconsciously, when it comes to making decisions about who we want to have relationships with. So I think it's important to understand that we do take things into account when we're deciding who to be friends with. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. Our brains work that way for a reason. And we need that small group of people that we want to hang out with to support us. But I think we also need to remember that it's not that there's something wrong with other people. It's just that maybe they're not right for us. That's it for our show this week. But before we go, we need your help.
This show is based on listener stories, and we need yours if we're going to continue making episodes.
If you have something to share, please send it using contact information in the show notes.
Even if you don't think your life is interesting, just reach out and start talking.
If there's an episode that can be made based on what you send us, we will find and make that episode.
And we'll give you a chance to listen to the edited version before making an episode based on it, so you'll be able to make sure that the final version of your story is true to what you wanted to say.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon.
Until then, stay human.
The Human Equation is written, hosted, and produced by Benjamin and Darshini. Special thanks to Michaela for sending us this week's story. You can find contact information and instructions for submitting your own story in the show notes.
Okay, we found another room. We can't find the lights to the room.
Oh, God.
I don't want to be stuck in a dark room.